You can keep talking. It's okay. We're not ready yet.
Well, thank you very much.
So serious, man.
Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning?
Are you on?
Okay. Hey, we're having a nice, chilly morning this morning. Yeah, getting ready for Christmas. Hey, if this is your first time with us, we do have a gift for you. If you go outside these doors and take a right, you'll see some countertops with some white gift bags there, and that's a gift for you, as well as a little slip of paper that you can fill out and hand into the office. It helps us get to know you a little bit as well. Hey, we have Christmas Eve coming up. It's this Tuesday, and we're having our family-friendly candlelight service here at 5:30 p.m., so there's no kids ministry things, but we do have a time that the kids will get to come up during the service. So that's what we mean by family-friendly service. But the candlelight service is always so special. It's always very, beautiful looking out in the crowd with all the candles going during that service. So that's December 24th, 5:30 p.m. Here. We have our Christmas card table out here. So make sure you stop by there and check to see if you have any cards there. You can also stop by Christmas Eve. I believe that we're going to have that table out there for next Sunday as well, just in case if there's anyone that's missed their cards. So make sure that you check that table on your way out. Another reminder, this Wednesday and next Wednesday, there's no youth group or Awana. So that's Wednesday the 25th and January the 1st. And then there's also no Sunday school next Sunday. So if you get here next Sunday in the morning at 9 a.m., you might be standing there a little bit cold, waiting around, but we'll be here shortly for the service time. Hey, at this time, I just want to invite everyone to join with me in prayer this morning. Can we all pray together right now? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning, God, and we thank you and praise you for just for the sacrifice that you've made, and God, that we can really begin to put into perspective the beginning of the sacrifice when it started from our perspective here on earth, when Jesus was born to the Virgin Mary in a miraculous birth, but also a humbling birth, God. You know, he didn't have the best place to lay when he was born, but even at his birth, being laid in a manger, he had humility even in his step into the earth. God, this morning as we head into this Christmas time, as we have Christmas coming this week, would we be intentional about where our focus is? God, it's so easy to focus on the materialistic parts of this season, but God, will we really stop and prayerfully thank you and praise you during this time? And will we be able to focus our families in that way as well? God, we thank you and praise you for all that you do. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
morning. Merry Christmas. Would you please stand and sing with us?
Divinity incarnate, creator of all. finally here. Oh, come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore him. For he alone is worthy, Christ the Lord.
Behold.
Thank you, our Father, for the wonderful truth of Jesus coming, a truth that is beyond all of our cultural celebrations, beyond our earthly thinking, to our eternal needs. And we thank you that in Christ, all that we need is in him. And we thank you that he is the Prince of Peace. Oh, how we desperately need that shalom, the peace of God that passes. We pray that as we consider that today, that we would know your peace, peace with you, your peace within us, and peace among us because of him. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, you are dismissed for kids' ministry. Well, we have been in one scripture verse for 4 weeks. Wow, just one verse for 4 weeks. Pastor, you are so slow. It takes so long to get it done, yeah. But just full, isn't it full? Just to know what God has said in the past, prophesying who Jesus would be, and the reality of all the names of Christ given by Isaiah, in Isaiah 9:6, fulfilling our deepest needs. I mean, really, that's what it's all about. And so we've talked about him being, of course, Wonderful Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, today, Prince of Peace. So, I know you just sat down, but I want you to stand up again. Can you do that? All right, you know, I just bad planning here. Okay, all right. But anyway, read this. I want you to read this with me, okay? Isaiah 9:6, you've heard me read it every week, okay? But let's read it together, okay? For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Excellent. You may be seated. All right. Good test of reading skills. All right. Yeah, no. Hey, it's great to hear us all say it together. That's very rich. Yeah. For a child is born to us. Just love that phrase. Think about it a moment. For a child is born to who? To us. To us. Jesus came for us. He didn't need to come for himself, but we needed him. He came to us. And he is all that has been said he would be. He is the Son of God. He is all that we need. He is God in the flesh. He is wise. He is understanding. He is caring. He protects. He provides. He's eternal, and so much more. And he is the Prince of Peace. Jesus has come to bring peace to us. You know, when he came, as we read the Christmas story in Luke, we find in the initial part of that gospel, of course, that the word came to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, that there would be one who John would precede. And John was to precede the coming of the Messiah. And Zechariah, when he finally was able to talk, he declared that the one who was to come after John would give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. Yeah, guide us to the path of peace. And of course, when the angels appeared to the shepherds in the field, they declared, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." That's a good translation, by the way, of what was said. Peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. With those who have an intimate relationship with God, which is what the Messiah came to provide. Not just peace on earth in a general way, certainly we all yearn for that, but peace specifically with God, peace that we all yearn for, peace that has not been possible and would never be possible without the action of God on our behalf. And so Jesus has come as the Prince of Peace. All of us would agree, certainly in our day today, because this is where we're living, right? But we all desperately need peace in this world. War is a problem. It's been a problem historically, mankind warring with each other, and certainly in the ultimate of war that destroys and kills, as we speak today, we know that there's war going on in Gaza, right? We were supposed to go to Israel twice, a group of us. And it hadn't happened because of war, right? In the Ukraine, continues to be a place of war. Syria, we know, is in the news now. And many, many other places. But not just in the war between countries, but people continue to not have peace with each other, arguing and fighting. Certainly, even in the personal, worry and anxiety continue to prevail in human hearts. And human attempts to solve these things have limited impact. Ceasefires, resolutions, medications. They have some impact, but never enough to totally meet the need. So this promise of a Prince of Peace is so very desirable. The Prince of Shalom, of wellness, of complete wellness, of the sense that everything is okay. Oh, don't we desire that? And it was desirable when this prophecy was first given by Isaiah that we read this morning. At that time, Israel was certainly in a terrible spot. Okay? They had certainly not been faithful to God, and a lot of things were happening as a result of that. Ahaz, at that time, was the king of Judah, but he was, and his country, facing an attack by Israel. I mean, this was a group of people that had once been united. Now we have Israel and Judah, and there's to be a war between them. But Israel has on its side Syria. Interesting that Israel and Syria were in the news then for war. And Israel and Syria are in the news today about war. Some things haven't changed much. Yeah. But God promised Ahaz through Isaiah, the prophet, that that war would not happen. Sounded good at the time. It's going to be peace. But the rest of the message was not peace. The word of the Lord then came that troops from Assyria and southern Egypt would invade and destroy all of Judah. So in the midst of all this turmoil and fear, a message comes to Ahaz and to the people of Judah from the word of the Lord, promising that there, if they would wait for the Lord, and if they would put their hope in Him, there would be peace beyond that which was in the present. Darkness was everywhere and would increase, but the promise was it will come to an end. For the people walking in darkness, Isaiah says, will see a great light. And this light is the child to be born to us. I mean, ultimately, there was the promise of God that if they would turn to Him, they would find in Him peace at that time. Fortunately, mankind continues to seek his own way, and that's what took place at that time. But ultimately, God is promising to all mankind that there would be a child born to us, the Messiah, Jesus. And he is the one who will bring true peace. Very real for us throughout time, especially for us right now. The one born to us brings peace. It has happened. Jesus has brought us peace. We can do that, say that statement in the present, but in the past accomplishment, okay? That he has done it. He has brought us peace. He entered this world coming in a way to threaten no one. Pastor Seth prayed this morning, came as a baby. It certainly was not a threat. Matter of fact, most of the world had no idea he even came. In just such a humble way. Born and laid in an animal feeding trough. No threat to anyone. His entrance was peaceful and quiet. He identified totally with humanity. He did not threaten us as we deserved, but he came to take care of our greatest need. He was tempted in every way, as we are, but did not sin. He lived a perfect life. And as the perfect one, he gave his life as the perfect Lamb of God, the sacrifice that was demanded for our sin. All other sacrifices that have been given were tainted. They were tainted with this world. No one, no thing, no animal could ever really fully take care of the sin need. The demand was for the perfect one. And the one who was born to us, this child, lived that life. And so Jesus died on the cross as a payment for our sin. The war between sinful mankind and God has ended through the cross. The payment made there was sufficient, and the resurrection of Christ is the proof that that was fully accepted and the victory has been won. And through faith in Him, our sins are forgiven. Our sins have been wiped away. That which put us at war, at enmity with God, has now been satisfied in Christ. As Isaiah wrote in chapter 53, He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. It was the Lord's good plan to crush Him. That was the plan of God from the very beginning. Yet when His life is made an offering for sin, He will have many descendants, those who have put faith in Him. My righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for He will bear all their sins. What a great word. No more war, but peace with God. No longer enemies of God, but now children of God. That's what Jesus has done for us. We have peace with God, as Romans says, because of what Jesus has done. He speaks to us, Jesus, in John chapter 14, about peace. He brings peace to us right now in our experience if we will rely on Him. In John 14, He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in Me. I am leaving you with a gift," He says, "peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." Jesus also says in Matthew, "Come to Me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. Let Me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Not only are we in a state of peace with God because of the sacrifice of Jesus through our faith in Him, but we also have access to Him personally, daily, through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the Comforter, the one He sent, that we would know this peace. And He wants us to know His peace. He wants us to live in His peace. He gives that to us as a gift. I know personally that that isn't where I live many times. Even though that's accessible to me, even though He has brought me peace to enjoy in the midst of whatever is going on. Many times I continue to live in the place of anxiety and worry. I imagine you do too. I imagine there's a few things right now, if we were to able to read your mind, if we put your mind up on the screen, it would be a lot of stress. Yeah, oh man, this whole place would get really tense, wouldn't it? Wow. Yeah. But that's the part He wants to work on. And I really believe that. And I, even though I truly believe it, I don't always access it. But the great news is that the promise of Christ is that it's there. It's what He wants for us. It's what He provides for us. And if we will come to Him, if we will look to Him, we will find, as He says, rest for our souls. The rest we yearn for in the deepest part of who we are, our souls, is available from Jesus. He invites us to come. We can come to find it. And He says it's to be found as we take His yoke upon us. You know what a yoke is, right? It's really something used in animals that plow, all right? It's connecting at least two together so that they work together to accomplish a task that's really too hard for one to do. Yeah. Of course, studies have been done that it's amazing what two can do. The multiplication of two pulling together is much greater than just adding one pull and one pull. It's beyond just two or one plus one equals two. It's kind of like one plus one equals more than two. Yeah. And so the idea here, of course, that Jesus is saying, if you'll let me pull along with you, if you'll attach yourself to me, if we work together, you will find rest. Even in working, even in pulling in this life, you will find rest because I will make it possible. If you're pulling alone, it's going to be pretty tough. You're going to get worn out. You're going to worry yourself sick. You're going to be so anxious that life is just constantly stressed out, and you're not going to want to continue. It's just overwhelming. But if you let me pull with you, he says, you will find rest for your souls. There, isn't it? Trouble is, I don't always access it. I try to pull on my own sometimes. I can handle this. Yeah, for a while. But doesn't usually end up too well. So we will find as we come and take his yoke on us, as we're joined with him and go wherever he goes, as we allow him to carry the load with us, we will find rest for our souls. Paul writes about finding his peace in Philippians chapter 4. I'm sure you know that. When I used to read this and kind of stop and say, oh, I've already failed, when it says don't worry about anything, well, I already have. Not only worried about anything, I worried about everything. Yeah. But that's there because that's what we do. We do worry about a lot of things. And we want to keep reading, okay? Because it's not for us to say, oh my goodness, it's already over. Keep reading, okay? Keep reading. Because he says, we are not to worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. As we've already mentioned, we have peace with God. We have a relationship with God. We can connect with God through faith in what Jesus has done. And that is to lead us to this time and this opportunity for us to know the peace of God in our lives. We can experience the peace of God by coming to Jesus in our need, in the midst of our weariness, in the midst of our worries. And we will, if we come and pray and we thank him for all he has done and we tell him what we need, he promises to give us this peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And that peace will not only be with us in that moment, but promises to guard our hearts and minds, because that's where the stress comes. That's where the worries come from, right? The way we think, the things that are stirring up in here, and then it gets down in here. And I guess that's, you know, I know it's the heart, it says here, but that's talking about the center part of who we are. You ever get that right there? That thing? You know, it's just like, ugh. And it just kind of hangs. I believe that's what he's talking about, right? The inner part of us can find peace that passes understanding. It doesn't make sense. I've experienced it. I'm sure you have. I've heard many of you testify, even as I've been with you. You know, you've been in tough situations, and it's like, man, this is overwhelming. But somehow, down below this, by me seeking God, he gives me something that's deeper. He gives me a peace that it's going to be okay. I don't really see how. The Assyrians are coming. The armies against me are greater than I could ever face. The stuff that I'm dealing with, I don't see an answer. But God gives me this sense of wellness, of wholeness. He's big enough to handle this. He's in the yoke with me. He's going to help me get through. We're going to not only just get through, but we're going to see that there's victory even beyond what the moment looks like. He's going to guard my heart and my mind, that I will stay in Christ Jesus, because that's where the peace is. He is the Prince of Peace. Instead of our minds taking us further into places of despair and desperation, his peace will stand guard against that. And we can have, even in the midst of trials, a sense of stability and rest when everything around us would seem otherwise. Jesus is the Prince of Peace who brings us peace with God and the peace of God. He also brings us peace with others. This often can be the hardest. I read the term this week in a writing called toxic polarization. I thought, wow, what a term that is. Toxic polarization. It's a phrase to describe the divisions in our nation and in our communities related mainly to political division. Unfortunately, the church is not exempt from this condition in society. Many times, there is much division and strife among people that gather together. In the midst of so many things that can divide us, Jesus is the one who is able to break down walls and bring us together. Paul writes about that in Ephesians 2:14 to the church, for he says, Christ himself has brought peace to us. And he gives this illustration. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Well, you might say, well, it seems like there's a lot of still fighting between Jews and Gentiles. Yeah, there is. There's a lot of stress between people of different cultures. Yeah, there is. But you know, Jesus has done it. When you find people who are of different backgrounds, particularly as it mentions here, Jews and Gentiles, if they've come to know the Prince of Peace, it's amazing how the things that once separated them no longer are significant. Jesus does bring people together. I've been in places of the world that are truly atheistic. Okay? And there is no belief in God whatsoever, and there is the persecution of those who would have a relationship with Christ. And I have seen people that have come to Christ in the midst of those things and have had a relationship with them that was not possible any other way. The Lord Jesus can do that. The Lord Jesus can bring peace between people who differ in lots of ways. I think it's possible here in the United States. I think there are people that have strong political beliefs in two different ways who still can be one in Christ. Amen? Yeah, sure. We don't all have to think and look exactly the same way, but we do need to respond to the one who's in charge in the same way. And let him keep us as one, even though we might think a little different here and there. That's what he can do. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. The struggle between Jews and Gentiles goes back to Isaac and Ishmael. It was an issue in the early church when Paul wrote this. That's why he wrote it. And it continues to be an issue today. Certainly the war in Gaza demonstrates the severe dynamics. Just imagine
If there could truly be peace between these two groups that hate each other, imagine if somehow Palestinians and Jews could be friends and truly love and care for each other. According to this passage, Jesus has done just that. But it's not in the basic cultural environment of today's world. It is to be in the church, the true church, where Jesus is Lord. Jesus breaks down cultural boundaries. He can make enemies friends of each other. Paul himself is a great example of this. He was a Jew and would have nothing to do with Gentiles as a Pharisaical Jew. But Jesus made him an evangelist to the Gentiles. He actually gave his life for the evangelization of Gentiles. He gave himself to care for them, love them, and see them come to faith. He was a brother to those who came to Christ. Jesus changed all of that. I love history. I love to read stories from some of our major conflicts, World War II in particular. And I was reading this. I thought I'd share it with you this morning. What a tremendous story. Captain Mitsuo Fuchida of the Imperial Japanese Navy Air Force rose through the ranks, and he was chosen to plan and lead the air assault on Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941. Captain Fuchida led the first wave of 183 attack aircraft, and he remained over Pearl Harbor until the second wave attack finished and saw the extent of the damage to the U.S. military. Because of his success, he was a Japanese hero and was granted an audience with the emperor. On the American side, Jacob DeShazer was one of General Doolittle's raiders, a bombardier of a B-24 aircraft, and was chosen to drop bombs over Nagoya, Japan. Because the aircraft did not have enough fuel to return to the carrier, the plan was to fly to China and land there. But there was a large hole from the shrapnel in the windshield, resulted in a wind drag on the B-24, and it ran out of fuel. And Jacob parachuted to land and was captured by the Japanese. He spent 40 months in a POW camp, beaten, suffering from malnutrition, and three of his crew were executed by a firing squad. Because of the cruelty of his captors, Jacob developed a deep hatred towards them, thinking only of revenge. After 23 months imprisoned, somehow the guards gave him a Bible. And as he read the Bible, he accepted the message of salvation through Jesus Christ, and it changed his life completely. The love of Christ melted his heart, and he resolved to someday bring the message of salvation to Japan. That's a change of heart. Several years after the war, he returned to Nagoya, the city he had bombed, and established a church there. In 1949, Mitsuo Fuchida purchased a Bible and read the gospel. He had heard of Jacob DeShazer through a tract that somebody had given him on the street in Japan. And he came to understand what motivated Jacob. It was the crucifixion of Jesus and his words in the Gospel of Luke, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." In April of 1950, Fuchida accepted Christ as his Savior. The following month, he went to the house where Jacob DeShazer and his family lived. And he knocked on the door. The door opened and Fuchida said, "I have desired to meet you, Mr. DeShazer. My name is Mitsuo Fuchida." After a moment, DeShazer recognized the name and welcomed him in. They embraced as brothers in Christ. Former enemies now made friends. Fuchida spent the rest of his life as an evangelist, traveling throughout Japan and even in the United States. And he and DeShazer sometimes would also share testimony together. How could that happen? Only Jesus, the Prince of Peace, changes hearts, changes lives, brings us peace with God, brings us the peace of God, and brings us peace with others. But that's not all. Ultimately, he will bring complete peace on earth. It's not over, friends. We're just getting the taste of it, all right? But we still yearn, don't we, that it would all be at peace. And we would hope, as we even go at times to vote, that there would somehow be a leader in our world today that would bring peace. And certainly the world will go for that at one point in time, just before Christ does return. But that's not going to do it, because the only one that truly will bring peace to this world is the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. And he will return. He came the first time as a baby, very humble, but he will come the second time as the warrior king. And he will reign on this earth. His government, as Isaiah said back in that prophecy in that we read this morning, it will not end. When he comes, it will be final. You better know him. Because if you don't, you will be his enemy and you will be struck down. But if you know him, you will reign with him. Isn't that a great thought? The Bible tells us that's true. That we who belong to him will reign with him forever and ever. And the things of this earth that are so troubling will be gone. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary to tell her that she would give birth to Jesus, he said this to her: "The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And the Lord continues to give us the truth in his word. In Isaiah 9, he prophesied that the government will rest on his shoulders. The coming of Christ to earth the first time was to suffer and die for our sins. The second time, he will come to reign, and there will be true peace. In Revelation 21, John writes about the New Jerusalem, and he says, "He heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.'" We look forward to that day. But I need to stop for a moment here and remind us of what Jesus also said when he was on this earth. That he doesn't always come to bring peace to us on this earth. Matter of fact, he said, "Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household." Any of you experienced that? Christ comes into your life. You're excited. And the people that you want to tell about it are the people you love, and they reject it. And suddenly there is a tension between you and them that you don't want. You love them. You want there to be a relationship that Christ has given you in their lives. And you want that to be all that it can be. But yet these that you love become enemies. Jesus divides. He divides those who accept him from those who don't. And many times that's a major struggle. I've seen it throughout my life in ministry. I've seen people come to the Lord and the struggles that they face in their homes because of this truth. But peace is experienced when Jesus is Lord. But when we follow him and others do, that is when peace is possible. Jesus desires that. He came to bring it. He wants us to know his peace. He said to his disciples in John 16:33, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. It is not to elude us. Rather, he encourages us to find it in him." To know the peace of Christ, we must go where he is. As we read earlier in Matthew 11, 28, he says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." And that promise in Philippians 4 to not worry about anything, instead pray about everything, and then you will experience God's peace. If we try to face life on our own and handle everything ourselves, we will not have his peace. But if we come to him and bring everything to him in prayer, he promises us rest and peace. Finally, not only are we to know his peace that he has attained for us with God, and to know his peace within our hearts in the midst of life's challenges, and also to see the peace that can come between believers, we also are to be people who give and work for his peace. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, "God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God." It takes work to have peace with others. And we show our relationship as children of God when we pursue it. We are blessed by God and a blessing to others when we work for peace. May we be peacemakers, not just peacekeepers, right? I mean, sometimes we really aren't about making peace. We just try to keep it. We don't really deal with the truth. But Jesus says we are to work for peace in his name. And that shows that we're his children. As we read in Romans 12, 18, "Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone." We can't always make it happen, obviously, but we are to be working at it. We are to be doing all we can. And the key to it all, of course, is the Lordship of Christ in our lives. As we end our time today, I'm going to encourage you to spend some time just thinking about Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Thinking about, first of all, do you know the peace with God that he has provided? Have you accepted him as the one who would save you? The one who has paid for your sins on the cross? Have you acknowledged that he is the Savior? Have you received him into your life? Secondly, do you know the peace of God in your heart? Are stresses and challenges overwhelming you? And you need to bring it all to him, to cast your cares on him because he cares for you, to present your request to him that he will bring that peace that passes understanding to you right now. And third, are there challenges with other people in your life that you need the Prince of Peace to help you with? I just ask you as we meditate, I'm going to lead us in prayer and then we're going to have some music, okay? And while that's being played, just be in a mode of prayer, bringing whatever it is that the Lord has that he's speaking to you about to him, coming to Jesus, the Prince of Peace, allowing him to be Lord of all those situations in your life. You might know his peace today. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, thank you. Thank you for coming to us as a baby, that we might be able to come to you as sinful mankind. Find what we need in Christ. Thank you for providing peace in a world of turmoil. Thank you for providing ultimate peace through faith in Christ. I pray for each one now as we meditate, as we focus, that you would be doing a work in our hearts that only you can do. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Jocelyn's parents with us, John and Kathy Winkler. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. Helping with music, and it's just been a real joy. We're going to close with a song that's good for us to be thinking about, right? And that's Go Tell It on the Mountain. Let's go from here to tell others that Jesus is born. So won't you stand as we sing together?
Sing together, go tell it.
Not quite done yet. All right, there we go. The elders have a presentation. They coming around? All right, I see them moving. All right, here they come. They're leaving, though. I don't know where they're going. Yeah. They just told me they wanted to do something, you know. You need a microphone, don't you?
Yes.
All right, let's get you here.
On the other side, Carol Blacksmith, Heidi Keller, and Carrie Anderson. Pastor Glenn and Betty, Pastor Seth and Emily. So if you all come up, we'd appreciate it.
Where do you want me?
Wherever you stand.
Wherever you stand.
You can choose.
I would like to see Betty, come over with your husband, will you please?
He needs help.
Yeah. And we have, okay, Pastor Seth is down there with Emily and the baby. I think the little one's Ren.
Is that Ren, that's Ren, yeah. Okay. Pretty dress.
We have an explosion of little kids in this church, which is really fantastic. It really is. We like to see the young people who have come to join us in fellowship. And, of course, There's got to be a stabilizing effect, and that's where we come in. All right? So we have a purpose here as well. But this morning is an act of appreciation for the staff of our church, which you are part of. And we do that every year. Pastor Glenn has now been with us for, I know he's over five because he was supposed to
be
four.
Four and 4 years and, well, who's counting? Seven
six
months.
Right. Seven,
yeah, seven
six months.
Yeah.
Right. But anyway, with that, we're going to put Pastor Glenn and Betty first because they are our leading people. So Pastor Glenn and Betty, Brian, you, yes, that's Betty's.
All right. Thank you so much.
For your service. God bless you.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, we do too. All right, down here. They only gave us two hands, and I really.
The Lord gave you two hands.
And that's good too. Sometimes that's too many. This young lady is not only the youth minister's wife, but she's also an employee. So she does our graphics. Thank you. I think it's yours.
Very good.
How is Jimmy coming along? Her husband just had a neck operation, and that's why he's not here this morning. But pray for him. His name is Jim Keller. Does that work? Is that yours? There's one in here, Carol.
You know there is.
Well, that's, there you go. God bless you. You're getting down in numbers, so. Bless you, and thank you
God
for your service.
You. Right.
There you go. That's them.
Hey, thank you all, and I just want to remind you that Tuesday night is our Christmas Eve service here at 5:30. You're welcome to bring friends. We'd love to see you do it. Make sure you get here and get a seat, because I think it's going to be pretty full. It'll be a candle lighting service. We're going to have a time for the kids, and I have a few little gifts for them, and we'll gather with me up by the tree. I always love that time. And I'm going to be talking on Tuesday night about what Mary knew that we all need to know. All right. And we're not going to sing Mary, Did You Know? Okay, just want you to know that. All right. All right. But we are going to consider that passage where she said it says that she pondered all these things in her heart. Okay. So that's where we're going to be on Tuesday night. Hope you'll be here. And if you can't, I know you might be traveling. Have a Merry Christmas, okay? Love you all. Have a great day. See ya.